Which is when holding food for a specific period of time. And the reason that you might fast is because you have decided that a specific moment in time is too sacred to engage in the practice of eating. That partaking in food would interrupt the moment's seriousness. Then we return to the practice of fixed hour prayer, often called daily office, comes back from the Jewish practice of praying 5 times a day. And last, we return to the spiritual practice of Sabbath, taking time, finding the flow of your weeks, to find time to play, to be creative, to seek social justice, and to rest. This week, we're returning to the practice of sacred meals. And we're going to share a sacred meal in your circles around your tables. So sacred meals, as Jerry talked about, also known as communion, it's what we talk about, how we talk about refers to the sacred meal, we practice it at the barn. It's also called the Eucharist, which is the Greek word that means thanks for Thanksgiving. Communion is a practice that helps us enter into a world that is much larger than our own. It's much larger than we are ourselves. It's much larger than time. And yet, it is also new and young and fresh with each group of people that share in this sacred meal. It is also, this is an interesting thing, sacred meals have to be practiced. This is the one spiritual practice that we have that has to happen in community. So you can fast on your own, you can pray on your own, you can practice Sabbath on your own, but you can't share a sacred meal on your own. It's meant for community. The practice of sacred meals comes from Judaism, where Jesus celebrated the sacred meal of Passover with his friends on the night before his death. And in the early church, the first Jesus followers shared these huge feast meals. These were celebrations where people were fed, all of the same people, rich and poor, old and young, male and female, all gathered together at a big feast, and they would pray and share communion with each other. And so we continue this practice of eating and drinking, of feeding, and communion for us is really a whole body experience. It really involves your entire physical body. Have you ever gone to a church service where you just get a tiny little wafer and a tiny little cup? Okay? And sometimes you feel like, I want more. Because we taste the elements, we ingest them, we feel them go down our throats. They enter into our stomachs. These elements move through us. Smell, we taste, we feel, we see those around us. And the practice of communion takes a whole community and all of our senses. And communion is all about the body. And in sharing the sacred meal, we are changed. We are changed. And the whole community. body of Jesus. Communion is the practice for us to get in touch with the Holy, to meet Jesus, to follow in His way, to be open to receiving compassion, and to follow compassion where it leads us, even if there is a cost to bear. To be compassionate as God is compassionate, and that is what it truly means when we talk about being in touch with the Holy. So in communion, the first thing we do is we approach the table. And we wait as we approach, and you all are in this waiting. And so the first thing we do in communion is we take a moment to examine our lives and what we have done and what has been done over the course of the last week. So I'd like you to just rest for a moment and take some time to reflect. Reflect on your week. Reflect on the things that have been done. Reflect on the things that you have done. As you approach this meal, who do you want to be? Paying attention to your relationships. How are your family members doing? Your friends? Is there a person or a relationship that needs your attention? Is there a person that you need to connect with? Or someone you need to pray for? As we approach this table, it's time to look back, but it's also time to look forward. Where do you want to go? Where is God leading you? Maybe God is leading you to somewhere new that you cannot imagine going on your own. Or maybe you're trying to figure out that old stress at work or at school this past week. Maybe it's about trying to find something new. A new way to figure out how you might work your way through a problem in the next week. If you look on your table, there's a bowl of scotch tape and a handful of enemies. This meal is a healing meal. So this morning, I'd like you at your tables and your circles to reflect on this question. Have you ever taken communion at a time when you need healing? And how does sharing a sacred meal bind us together as a spiritual web of people? I'm going to let you talk about those questions in your circles.
Thank you.
Communion, just as we are. We come to this table just as we are, opening ourselves to coming alive again, to be renewed in the Spirit, to look around us, to see all of our friends, our family, and to pray that we might become more and more God's kingdom people in our hearts, minds, and bodies. So as we approach the table, let's read this passage of scripture together. 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. When they started bringing the bottle of wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told them, "You're just about out of wine." Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time, don't push me." She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it. 6 silver bottle pots are there, used by the Jews for ritual washings. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus ordered the servants, "Fill the pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Now, fill your pitchers and take them to the host," Jesus said. And they did. When the host tasted the water that had become wine, he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out to the bridegroom, "Everybody I know begins with their finest wine, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you stay for the best till now." I love this story. Sacred meals are a celebration for community. They are a feast. And I love this story because here's Jesus with his mom at a wedding banquet. And I love this interaction between the two of them. Mary tells Jesus, "There's a problem. There's a problem. They're running out of wine." And he responds, almost blowing her off, "This is my problem. Don't push me." Right? Can't you hear a mother or some arguing this way? But she doesn't argue with him because she knows him better than he knows himself. So she simply goes to the servants and says, "Just do whatever you want me to do." This is Jesus' final response. And so what does he do? He jumps into action. Seeing the need and meeting the need, turning water into wine, Jesus offers gifts. Gifts upon gifts upon gifts, love upon love upon love. And Jesus has saved the best till now. And we hope that by sharing this sacred meal, Jesus will also transform us and change us into something new. And so we approach this table just as we are. And there are so many things that we keep hidden below the surface. Deep fears and longings, and sometimes it is simply a feeling of being unsettled. Maybe you're not feeling well today. Maybe your body is tired. Maybe it's the stress of too much work to handle. Or maybe you had a visit to the doctor's office this week and you're waiting for those test results, and there's nothing worse than the waiting. Maybe the demands of your time or your grief or a friend. There are so many things that can hold us back while we sit at this table. So I'd like you to share in your groups. What are the things that you carry that can hold you back from your relationships? What are the things that you keep buried below the surface that can separate you from your relationship with God and your relationships with others?
Yeah, it's like that.
Why do you think
we as a culture have a hard time receiving unearned gifts. We are hungry for your Holy Spirit. We are hungry for justice. We're hungry for community and belonging. We're hungry for celebration. We're hungry for change. Lord, Look at us, God. Our hands are empty and we are ready to receive. And God says, you are welcome here. You are an honored guest at this party. Amen. And so as we gather around these tables, we remember on the night when Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his friends, the night when he would be betrayed by those who were closest to him. In the middle of the supper, he took bread, and he gave God thanks, and he broke the bread, and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup after the supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. When we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we are changed. We are transformed. We are healed. We become the body of Christ. And we become love. Through our hands, through our hearts, through our minds, through our bodies, so that all people may know, that you may know, that you are loved by God. So I invite you to take the bread and the juice around your table, and I'm going to invite you to serve one another. So as you take the bread, offer it to the person sitting next to you, and you can say, this is the body of Christ broken for you, or you can just pray for them silently, and we invite you to tear off a piece of the bread and then dip it in the cup. And then I'm going to invite you to pass this to your friend who's sitting next to you. So I'm going to invite you to share communion at your tables. Thank you.
someone else ask, do you take the babies too? Well, the fancy babies came from the doctor.